This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, February 8th.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
Here.
Now on to open microphone.
All right. Howdy, everybody. Student Assembly would like to welcome you to the meeting today. Now comes that time where I say every week, any of those of you in the audience who have something you'd like to say that's not on the agenda today, you're welcome to as non-voting members of the Student Assembly, and we would invite you to come up to the microphone and do so now. All right, appreciate it.
All right, on to announcements and reports. First, we have a UA update by Representative Duke.
I just want to give a quick report on the UA forum that was on Monday. It was a suggestion that a lot of people in the team expressed their disliking of the proposed changes. It was unsuccessful in that there were only about 10 undergraduates there the entire time.
Questions or comments? Representative Self.
I totally agree that it's extremely important you should have more of everyone here present. I had a personal time conflict with that date, and one of the problems I think is since it's just so important, I was a little surprised, and I know that there's a timeline people are working within, that there wasn't only one sort of forum scheduled like at this point, just sort of that it was everyone here, some of the guys right, who went there sort of felt as though, because like it's the different levels of familiarity people had during the forum, that sometimes that like there's specific issues, they didn't get enough airtime to be talking about them. So I was wondering, does the UA have time to schedule like an alternate forum, or is there a time we could just have a lot of student assembly members and a bunch of other student leaders and throw them together, even if it's just more informal, and have maybe one or two senior administrators there just to get more of that undergraduate voice back up so we can spend some more time talking about it?
There's certainly a possibility. There's actually another forum that was in the fall. So this is the second of its type. Right. This one was held by more. However, the Sun is also doing, or not the Sun, but the UA as a whole has a spot dedicated on their website for explicit comment. And they're really, really pushing people to do that. Every time someone spoke at the forum, they said, "Hey, please also see your comments online." And CJC is really able to draw those comments. So you can find it just by going to the University Assembly website.
Right.
And you can find. And they would really want their comments.
Okay.
One thing they're really pushing for. So if you do have comments, I would
definitely encourage you to. Okay. Well, any other questions or comments? All right, on to Resolution 19 update by Vice President Coombs.
All right. I finally had the big meeting with the fabled Ann Kinney, the library lady. We went over quite a bit of stuff. I'm going to kind of condense this because basically what we ended up deciding at the end of the meeting is that I'm going to invite her to come to one of the meetings and give a presentation just because of the sheer amount of information. But I will condense a little bit of what we did talk about and what you'll likely hear from her when she shows up. As far as the main issue of 24-hour library service, there was a cost analysis. They had some people in the library actually go through everything. The energy costs would be unknown, and the price for increased custodial staff, et cetera, would be unknown. But you'd be looking at about $150,000. If we closed URIS and made Olin 24-hour, it'd be $80,000. There was a series of scenarios. If we leave Olin alone and open URIS fully, instead of just those parts where you can go at night, they had no known costs, but there were pros and cons. You have like 475 more seats, 16 more full production computers, laptop availability, etc. Basically, what it came down to, though, was in a survey done where about 1,000 people, it was about 1,066 people responded. 65% were undergraduates, 25% were graduates. The main concerns were related more to more increased quiet study space, a little more group study space, more access to the book stacks, but especially the amount of computing. And so what we ended up talking about was weekend hours and also increased hours for the cafe there in Olin. What we ended up talking about is something that I don't think a lot of students know about. I didn't really much know about this. Olin has been seeking for a long time to get support for a renovation. This renovation would benefit both undergrads and grads in that it would give increased quiet study space. And for anybody who's ever been in Olin, when you walk in, you know that there isn't much computing space or computers in general. So if they were able to secure student support for this renovation, it wouldn't benefit those of us here, obviously, because it would take a while. But it would, further down the line, address a lot of the concerns that students actually brought forward in this survey. If anybody has any questions for me right now, then that's fine. Although, like I said, Ann Kinney will be coming, and we'll have a big presentation about this, hopefully. And I do see some hands raised, so I'll give it over to Kwame.
Was that $150,000 per year?
Yes.
Okay.
Increase.
Self.
That was my question.
Representative Salem.
I just had a question. Did you guys discuss accessible computers and the accessibility of issues that I brought up once? Do you mind?
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. In general, that was one of the main problems we talked about. Not so much specifically accessibility, but just computers in general. And people definitely want to focus on that. I'm sure accessibility would definitely be a big part of that.
Is there a question over here?
Yes. Do you know what date you're
coming? No, we haven't worked out any times yet.
Were there any other questions or comments? All right. On to a dining committee update by Vice President Coombs.
Yeah, this one will be quick, too. Obviously, since I was in Washington this Monday, we had to cancel or postpone the last dining committee meeting. It will be this Monday at 5:30. Downstairs at the regular place there in Oakenshield. We've been having to reevaluate the times again. A couple of our members have had things come up, and so we might be changing around the times yet again. As always, I will keep you updated on that.
Whatever happened to the extension of math?
Oh, yeah. The dining committee had our first meeting, it was largely a scheduling meeting. A lot of people had to leave early, so we couldn't get into that big of a discussion about it. But we did touch on this. They did have that trial period. They had it at the end of last semester, at the beginning of this semester. They actually extended it about a week longer. To be succinct, they didn't have really any amount of business that would justify keeping it open like that. However, the dining committee debated whether or not it was actually because people don't want to utilize the service at that time, or if it was a matter of advertising. So we're going to revisit that, and we're going to have another trial period, but we're working with the dining administration on what we think might be, and when I say we, I'm speaking for the dining committee, what we think will be proper advertising, and we're going to recommend more avenues for them to use. But we're going to try it again. Like the first trial run was, like on an average night, they'd have six people wander in the extra couple hours, and it just did not, it was not worth it for the increased employment costs and all that stuff.
An issue is already addressed before, but it falls underneath the Jacksonville I forgot what it's called, but okay. I was wondering if you could address in one of the meetings, or I could come to the meeting and ask. I just experienced this, like, if you sign up for a meal plan in one semester, you have to be on one the next semester. And, like, was this already addressed? Like, can we, like,
no, actually. No members have brought that forward, although we always invite, I know Representative Lavin, is he here?
No.
He had some concerns about ILR dining one time. He came out, and the dining administration, they would be glad to answer any questions you got. If you just shoot me an email, I'll definitely throw you on the agenda. And that's definitely something I'm sure that would be interesting to talk about.
Okay.
Okay, on to an SAFC, or announcement, right, by Representative Earl.
Okay, so it's that time again. SAFC budget hearings are starting, actually they probably started right now, in the past half hour. Just the normal spring budget, although, you know, it's a little different this time just because of the issues we face with switching to entirely semesterly budgets, but everything's working out really well. We've seen so far the process has been going really smoothly. As usual, if any of you would like to stop by, the budget hearings are going to be today, tomorrow, and Saturday in, I believe right now, they're in the art gallery. So if you would like to observe, feel free.
Questions, comments? Did you have an announcement, Representative?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I would like to take a moment of silence for Anna Nicole Smith. She died the other night. She collapsed in a hotel, and this is a very tragic occasion for America as a whole.
Moving on. Next, I have an executive announcement. After today's meeting, we'll be going into executive session. Executive session, and we're going to go around and do committee reports and liaison reports. All right. Any questions or comments about that? Were there any other announcements or reports? Okay. On to business of the day. First, we have a Kyoto Now presentation by, I think it's Michael Perkins?
Matt
Perkins. Okay. Well, Kyoto presentation. Sorry about that. You guys need a projector?
We had asked for one. Twice.
That was our mistake. We did send in the request for the projector. We apologize. There's miscommunication. What I would ask you guys to do, I understand that you put a lot of time in the presentation. If you could forward that to one of us, I know you have our emails, Matt. We'll send it out to our SA list. Everyone will make sure to check it out at some point. I apologize for that.
Aria, do we not have a projector today? Okay. I was making sure.
My name is Matt.
Actually, could you please use the microphone because we record the meeting? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So, I'm not going to that's what's kind of driving the budget today. some universities in the past very similar recruitment. Cornell wants to continue to be a national leader on this matter. You saw the article in today's chronicle about Cornell getting B- sustainability, or not being able to see on this, other universities are struggling with this. But this is keeping us in pace with our heritage based on this very important issue. Okay, so you all have the wording of the resolution for you as I put a second on it, but I just want to explain basically so you can go before. What we'd like to do is ask this question, and then hopefully the students vote one way or another, we'll have a positive response, obviously, that is the students to decide. There are two things which Hypothesis Referendum does. One is that future, and hopefully will focus on this assembly here, student assembly, to enact what the students have decided. I hope that might happen. But the second thing it does is something which might not be obvious to those of you who haven't tried to get the administration to move something, but I doubt that there are many different things. Most of you work in the administration almost every day. You know that the administration is very unlikely to do something that is going to be wrong. And so we meet with the administration frequently. There's a pseudo task team which is established, which makes decisions about improving energy efficiency. We're meeting with President Scorton tomorrow to discuss corporate carbon neutrality. In all these cases, the administration says, oh, we'd love to do this, and we will put money behind it as soon as we have students involved. As soon as we can put a number on the students. And so it's wonderful that we have 3,000 petitions we've collected in the past month, which is actually a lot. But that doesn't even do it quite as well as hopefully this referendum. And if students here voted to have at other institutions, our parent institutions, Harvard, Central College, et cetera, then we'll have a very strong point, a very strong piece of evidence for policing the administration to take action on this. This question might be raised anyway, but people, when I presented this issue a year and a half ago, students asked the question, what happens for students who have financial aid that's become a mandatory fee? And we spoke with the financial aid office, and it actually turns out that it is a fee that is part of the student activity fee that financial aid will go. So I think that's an important point.
All right. Okay, I have a couple questions. So right now for the student activity fee, we actually don't have the option to provide that checkoff box on the bursar bill. So I know, I think you said before that you guys were talking to the registrar about that, is that correct?
Yeah, well the bursar said no with that issue, but with this issue, you talked to them again, right?
Yeah, so you raised a great point. But this is, I think, important enough to show that I think there would be an option box. It would be as simple as, first of all, it could be as simple as, well, let's say, for example, the student said yes, they want it to be optional, and they want it to be, opt out. So that's the tough part with students. So in that case, what we would do every year is, from the Utilities Department Committee, spend this money, send an email every year to register the time saying, if you would like to not pay this fee, it's $5 a semester, click on the student or whatever. There might be flaws in that system, but I'm sure it would be worth it. So, does that address the
system? Well, I guess that answers the question, but right now we absolutely don't have the option for anything that's in the student activity fee. It can't be listed as a checkoff item. And I know they've, in the past, the administration has been pretty steadfast to that. But if you guys want to pursue that, that's fine. Representative Self.
Actually, there's going to be questions when I end this on the resolution, but the presentation, I just have a couple of comments on this. Before I was in the student assembly, when I came to Cornell, I saw Stephen Kiernan was already doing work on this issue. And now I'm a senior and about to graduate, and they've been pushing so hard for these 3 years, and nothing has been done. And it's been a combination of, the lack of enthusiasm or interest or inaction of the student assembly in really helping them push, administration doing exactly what they said and just saying, oh, you know, where's the student support? Where are the numbers? And things like that. So, I mean, and also something that's also happened in those 4 years that I've been here is that, you know, climate change has been talked about more and more and more. I mean, I know that we've been hearing about global warming for a long time. This isn't like something like the weird leftist environmentalists are talking about anymore. I mean, this is something that's a mainstream issue that I think it's really important that we address. And I totally agree with Matt that keeping Cornell up, at least at par with, you know, our other peer institutions is something we should really do here. The referendum, I think, is something that's a great idea and something we might incorporate, not just for this issue, but for future issues that are of broad concern to students. I know a lot of other students, I have friends at the University of California, Santa Barbara, they have referenda every single ballot to talk about major policy issues. It's a great way of really making sure that not just us 23 representatives, but that everyone at the Houston campus who takes care to vote, that their voice is heard on something like this. And it's a really easy thing to add in, especially on our ballot or something. I think we need to come together beyond not just Neil, but myself and other people in the Assembly to really help push through just the bureaucracy that stopped this from happening. You know, you can buy a ticket on your Cornell card. You can donate to lots of charities on your Cornell card. There's lots of things that are indirect to interface with the bursar. And especially if there's a referendum that shows strong student support, then I think that the concerns the administration has raised before about, oh, but what if every charity wants to have a checkout box? Is not the case, because this is a multiple-year effort, something they put a lot of energy behind, and if Cornellians want it, I think it's something that's not just, you know, one of many things that are just going to end up at the checkout box. So I hope that when a resolution is brought on the floor for this, that, you know, we really do work on this, not just during the meeting, but commit to doing something afterwards, and get that referendum ballot on this year. The next 2 years' assembly will work to make sure that some sort of checkout box that corresponds with the support I think this is going to get will happen. One comment I just have is that did you say that the default status that you guys are proposing with maybe different options would be that students would be opted out or opted out and opted in?
That's actually the deeper question to the students.
Right.
Which do you want?
Right.
And based on the results, we can make a decision.
What's your now preference on that? Or are you still collecting, looking at a lot of different things on that?
Right. Well, to be honest, I prefer to let the students decide because I want this to be something which represents them. But, and I'll note that there are universities which have gone for mandatory. Like the Connecticut College, they have $20 per student mandatory per year. Now, if it's going to come about financial aid, you know, that makes that argument a lot stronger. But on the other hand,
thank you. Just a quick follow-up comment. Actually, after this Kyoto Now discussion, we'll be soliciting ideas for a referendum for this year's election conducted by Vice President Slicklin. So we hear you. Representative Salem, I think, Ahmed.
I don't know what the possibility of just making it on the spring ballot and being a referendum, maybe you guys could look at something in the fall since there's also a fall election. That's just an idea from you guys. The spring doesn't work. But I guess what I'm interested in is, Representative Self brought up a very good point, which is that, you know, the administration has always said, what if a lot of charities want to put a referendum through? What if charities start asking for the same treatment? And I guess, even though I don't really dismiss that as a weak argument, and I want to hear what you think about that, Matt. Like, what if actually a lot of charities start asking for us to do this? I mean, why is this so special that it should undergo a referendum while, you know, something else, like someone cares about some other issue, you know, even though they might be in the minority, they're not, you know, they don't have 3,000 signatures, that shouldn't be an issue that should be on our front. Like, where should we, as a student assembly, if you were to tell me, to draw the line between the issues that we should consider and issues we should
good question. I'll be interested. I'm glad you're asking me to tell you where to draw the line.
I just want to go over
here. I guess like Calvin said, this is an issue which we've been talking about for several years. And this is an issue which, at least Cornell students or similar students in other peer institutions, many people care deeply about. People make decisions whether this should be a referendum or not are humans. And so if people are doing, as Calvin and TJ are suggesting, if you guys are going to put more referenda up, then it's your decision.
I guess another question I have is, have you guys considered forming like some sort of forum to discuss this issue, like with the general student body? I know you've got a lot of signatures, but like actually holding a forum and see how many people actually are going to show up. You've done that. Okay.
Well, there's what's called the sustainability hub. They've organized a semester of sustainability meetings to discuss this issue at Cornell. And to be honest, it's not much for us to discuss. I mean, we're co the issue, and everybody acknowledges that. So we will continue to have that in the next sustainability semester meeting, which is Tuesday.
Vice President Coombs.
My question is actually just, I guess first I want to go to Neil. If this referendum passes, what specific actions like would you take? Would the assembly kind of at that point automatically have to enact this? And then also my question to Matt is, if the referendum fails, what will Kyoto Now's actions be after that point? Like, will you continue to pursue it, or?
Do you mean this resolution?
Right. Theoretically, if this was introduced as a resolution and the assembly passed it and people voted on it during the election and it failed, I'm just curious to know what would your actions be from that point? No. Well, it says right here, it says, like, below is a draft referendum. And since, yeah, because usually you would introduce it as new business, although.
Do you want it to be on the table? Would you like us to vote it? We can vote on it today. Yeah, we can vote on it today.
Second. Motion to bring it.
I don't see any dissent, so. Sorry.
Good.
So, sorry, Mark. Your question is, if this is voted by you guys today,
I'm not talking. I'm talking about like if the student body itself votes down this referenda, what would your response be?
Well, statistically, just based on how many members of the board, I have no problem with that because, for example, Harvard 78% said yes, but that's a great question anyway. If they vote this down, then the question becomes, how can we
right. So basically, like, you feel if this makes it on to in March, and if students are allowed to vote on it, you expect that it will pass overwhelmingly.
I expect that this referendum will show a very strong percentage of willing to spend.
Okay.
Vice President.
I think one of the main concerns was about the checkbox, and I think, Matt, if you mention this to President Scorton tomorrow, and as an administrator who's very energy conscious from what I read about him, I think that he would have enough pull in the university that he could get a checkbox on some kind of thing. So I think the main concern that we should be worrying about right now is getting this on our ballot and getting students to vote on it. And then after it's approved by the student body, then we'll worry about the logistics, worry about getting it on the bursar. My second point, could you just tell us a little bit about the Kyoto task team? I mean, if this does go through, we're going to be dealing with about $130,000 worth of money to go to this. And I'd like to know who's going to be administering this, who's going to be choosing, who's on that task force, and what kind of essay representation is going to be on it.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, just to address the first point, of course it's our hope when Kyoto meets with the board tomorrow that they'll announce initiatives in the department. But I specifically doubt that he will allow this checkbox to go on. Perhaps, hopefully, if you guys pass this, he will. But that's not even what we're asking. When we've asked the administration previously for that, Susan Berkeley was pretty close to him. So, decision making, as always said, now I'm reading very much. So
yeah, I'm going to remind you.
That's not
yeah.
The task team, so this is the committee that the chief financial officer and vice president, or the vice president, created in 2001. And it's chaired by the chief by the university. our organization, representatives, different faculty groups, and engineers and staff members of Cornell. And this is a group that spends between $5 to $10 million a year in retrofitting every building on campus to make them more energy efficient. So if this passes and students decide to do this, then we need to introduce a second resolution after the March referendum, which allocates these funds, then we can definitely create a representation on that committee. Here and now we certainly continue to make sure that it passes. But I mean, the university is, it's not, there's not very much concern that the university is going to use this, at least according to the model, way of putting their own scholarship.
Okay, we can worry about that later. And also, I just wanted to address something that Representative Salem said. He mentioned, you know, other charities trying to get on our ballots for referenda and whatnot. I mean, I don't see the Red Cross and other charities lined up at our door to try to get on this. Kyoto Now has been the first organization to approach us about this. And I think, you know, we should, you know, not worry about that right now. Deal with the task at hand, and then if we do run into a situation where charities are trying to get on our ballots, then we'll deal with it. But this is the task at hand now, and I think we should give them our fullest attention.
Just to remind everyone, we are discussing the resolution. I say that to remind you that if you want to make an amendment, you can, and you can also motion to call the previous question. Representative Hartman.
I just want a couple of things clarified. You keep on using the word referendum, but this is really just kind of like a statistical measure to see how many people on the campus would support this, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
I mean, unless you want to introduce the language that makes this violent.
Well, the student assembly, like, we can't allocate $10 filing funding to an activity this amount. We would have to do it filing funding. So I'm guessing, like, you want the statistical data, and then you would come student assembly, like during bylaw funding period, and ask for $10.
Yeah, that's what happened. We wanted to ask, so after work, we can go to you. How do we make the students more of a reality? Whether that's through bylaw funding or through government funds.
This is actually something that I think it was Mark that addressed it. We're not bound to what the students decide. It's more of a tool for informing us because we can't talk to every single member of the 13,000 undergraduate student population. So it's more than a statistical measure in that respect. Because, you know, say 80% decide they want it, then that doesn't mean that we have to do it. There are other factors. Anyway. Representative Early.
I just wanted to know where the time and place of your meeting.
The person to contact on that is either Income, or Ethan Ray, or either of those people, or Dean, who might not be as far as the Cornell Center staff, or visit at the NPR.
Representative Fernandez? No, Representative Duke.
Well, then it shouldn't, we shouldn't make it mandatory. It should only be an option.
that an amendment, a motion to amend? Well, we don't operate by those rules anymore. Let me make a quick point. When you motion to amend, we're no longer asking the signatories if it's friendly or unfriendly. We're just debating.
Okay, then I guess I make a motion to strike and question 3 from the
reference. Okay, there's been a motion to strike question 3.
Point of inquiry, is the motion to strike also to make the second change that Matt said where you're going to change optional to opt-in, opt-out?
No, I don't think it's just saying mandatory and then optional.
Okay.
And that way, once, if you know, say you get the response, being like, yes, you can have it, but it could be optional, then we continue to decide what's that from there.
Okay, we're now debating the motion to strike question 3. First, Vice President Coombs.
I just want to stress at the outset that I'm definitely in favor of this resolution in general, but as far as like taking out question 3, I don't know. I kind of want to leave it in just because, and I think everybody will identify with this. Even though, you know, like no matter how people feel about the cause, I'm one of these guys that I always hate when I sign up for like a magazine subscription or something, and there's these boxes down at the bottom that I have to check if I want to opt out. I don't know. I just think it's kind of, I want to give students the option to be able to determine whether it should be opt in or opt out. Just regardless of the cause, I just think we should be very open about that.
Representative Self?
Well, I mean, hold on, sorry, left looking about her.
I'll come back. Let me remind people that if and when we add a referendum to the ballot, there will be other questions too.
Right, so I guess what I was going to say is, you know, this, I agree with Representative Duke is that, you know, I don't want question 3 left on there to turn into something the administration will twist into something negative. And, like to point out, if it's just this question out to the students, it's not binding and will not actually say what the structure is. So they could, we could have, not have an opt-in, opt-out there, and then still have an option for students to opt-out later on in the process once we actually implement this. So this isn't the action item here, it's just the opinion thing. And I don't want that information to be used, you know, against this cause. And I move the previous question.
Second.
Ready to dissent? All right. So the motion again is to strike out question 3, and it reads, if optional, should this fee be opt-in or opt-out? Allow Representative Duke a closing remark in favor of your motion.
I think I made my point pretty clear. I think Representative Self said I would just be really afraid that in the future that question could be used against us based on what the proposal did. And I would hate to see that happen if that's a good proposal to be referenced.
All right. All in favor of this motion, please raise your hands. Okay. The motion passes. The resolution? Question three has been stricken. And, I mean, everything else is the same. Question 2 has not been modified. All right, on to Vice President Greenberg.
Motion to move the previous question.
Second. Any dissent?
Point of order. I just wanted to say I'm on the speaker's list for this, but I'm adding myself as a signatory to the resolution. I just handed Neil a copy. So let me just reflect that.
All right. All right, there's been a call to the previous question. Is there any dissent?
I have
What is...
What?
Note within it. It's an FYI. All right. Were there any other questions about the resolution? All right. Allow the signatories closing statement.
I really don't think that's going to be an issue.
this. This right here.
Were there any members of the community that wish to speak?
Call for acclamation.
All right. There's been a call for acclamation. Second, is there any dissent? Okay, the resolution passes unanimously. Okay, on to our next item on business of the day. It's actually not listed on the agenda. Vice President Wickman is going to conduct a conversation on referendum ideas.
So now that we have one referenda on the ballot for March, I'd like to solicit some other ideas that students could vote on potentially in the election. This, as you know, is the higher of the vote getters compared to the fall election. So I don't think it'd be effective to put really any referenda on there because you don't really have upper class in voting on that. So I'd like to have us address some questions that we may be able to use in the future if representatives are working on a particular project that we may want to address on the ballot. It would be great PR for us. We can hold forums and hearings, and I can actually do my job. So if anyone has any ideas about a potential referendum idea, please let me know. Oh, yeah. In the past, one of the ideas that has already been brought to me was about legal music downloading and a service provided by Cornell for legal music downloading. Representative Salem and I last semester brought about a resolution about the Academic Bill of Rights. I'm not interested in pursuing that any further. If anyone is, please let me know. But does anyone have any questions or room in the future?
All right, so at this time we're just throwing out ideas. It's basically a brainstorming session, and we can so direct your comments to CJ.
I'm not sure when this will be should be on the agenda, but Touchdown Community Center. I know it was discussed a little earlier, but we are working to get farther in that. So that probably will need to happen later in the semester, though. I'm not really sure the timeline at this point.
So do you think it'd be helpful to have student feedback regarding that?
I think that depending on the administrative response, yeah.
Well, what we can do is we can make a list of questions and then vote on them potentially next week to discuss what issues are the most important, because we obviously won't have a ballot with 13 or 15 questions because we want to focus on the three or four that we do have for press purposes and that sort of thing. Representative Stale.
I guess I sort of touched on both of the things I was going to say, but one, I think, like, I'm interested in pursuing the Bill of Rights referendum. I think it's a very important issue. I think that I don't know if you guys read the Sun, it was the last day last semester, Eric Jarboe wrote an article about how he was discriminated against in the classroom, and then Eric Finkelstein, who I believe is a first-year law student here, also wrote another article talking about it. So I think, like, academic rights for students is an issue that should be of great concern at this point, and I am still interested in pursuing that further and explaining my opinion later on. Next week we can vote on it. The second issue, I also think, you mentioned legal music downloading. I think that's actually a really good idea. We had Napster before, and we no longer have it this year. And since next year is the byline funding, like, we start to byline fund organizations, I think we should, just like we're going to do with the environmental proposal, we should also do the same with asking specifically about Napster, and then have a, if yes for Napster, then it's a yes, if no, then, you know, what other music, legal music downloading program would they recommend? So I think, like, something like that should be addressing specifically Napster on the referendum.
Representative Duke.
Yeah, I should talk to Mal sometimes lately about his student list idea and basically creating so everyone can know, but basically creating a list of professors that the students nominate, and he really wants that to go into effect this coming spring. There'll be more action on that. that Steve and I talked to him a couple of times since Trustee Weekend when he brought it up in January. But I think that it would really help his position. I mean, we'd have to ask him and see if it's something he would want. But if he would want it, I think it would really help him when he goes to the administration.
Representative R. Salem.
Access.
Don't we already have that?
Not
all.
No.
Okay.
Just in
course. Wait. The better.
Oh, wireless center. What would you? Do you think that'd be a good question to ask? I think that would be a pretty obvious response. Yes.
Maybe that will get the administration to expedite its action.
Can I comment on that?
There was a comment over there.
Can I comment on that?
Yes.
Residential advisor,
two things about that. One, I know a bunch of the buildings, because they're near both Cal Commons and Robert Purcell, they get overlap. Like, I live in Muse, so I get overlap, so that's not a concern. But I know I also, I'm also an employee of CIT, and one reason that it's not on our priority list is sort of, it's just not, because everyone who lives there, either in their room or in a lounge, has internet access, because the cost of putting the infrastructure in, the cost of putting in an infrastructure to put wireless access in every single residence hall is so high that because people already have it, it's not really seen as a necessity, so it's not a number one priority. So this is sort of a heads up. It's just a commentary. No, it's certainly a logistical concern, but I don't think that should affect our decision to put it on a referendum ballot. Right. I think if we did come to the CIT people with this information, we could have a great case for that. So, Representative Hartman.
Kind of like to know, should the student assembly president be properly elected?
Ooh.
Not. Should the student president now?
Okay. Any other ideas to change our entire body?
Should we have a student assembly?
What's that? We want to address that.
All right.
I think we're good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. On to unfinished business. Resolution 24, resolution regarding bulk emails by Vice President Coombs.
Regard to the standing rules, I think this would be more effective if we actually did a charter change, because we're going to be looking at this every year from now on. If we do, Vice President Greenberg suggested to me right after the discussion that we include emails asking students if they would mind an email from us in a referendum. If we're going to have to do this, if we're going to be sending emails out, we're going to have to change the standing rules every time so that they reflect these rules and have this debate every year. I think it'd just be more effective if we change this to a charter change. So I motion to amend the resolution so that instead of standing rule 34, it says that it's reflected in the charter.
With,
yeah.
Can you,
Matt, that?
Can you put it specifically in the charter?
Under the,
well, we're going to have to, I think, figure out the next week.
Yeah.
So, what is your amendment exactly?
I don't want this as part of the standing rules. I want it as part of the charter.
Okay, so you're going to wait to, you're going to wait to formulate that amendment then?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Sure. Oh, there hasn't been any motion yet. All right. Representative Sable. Representative Sable.
A motion to table the resolution until they can amend the charter for next week.
All right. There's been a motion to table this resolution until next week, and a second. Is there any dissent? Several dissenters. Do you rescind the motion?
No, I don't.
All right. Okay. Everybody in favor of this motion, please raise your hand.
Or,
Everybody in favor of tabling this until next week, please raise your hands. Aye.
Hey, if we table it, I'm
happy. No, we're going into executive session after this. Okay, so, yeah, we're going into executive session after this, so the meeting isn't over if you table it. That was something brought up by Representative Hartman. So, everybody... Representative Quicklin. Okay, we're going to try this one more time. Everybody in favor of tabling this until next week, please raise your hand high. The motion passes.
Don't go anywhere.
All right. Now we're moving into executive session. So all nine voting members of the student assembly, please leave the room. Thanks for coming. All right.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.